So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover. And Doc Dre, what Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we Dalton Castling. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. It's D-Bron's retirement, give you the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop a heavy tag teaming like Teddy, long going strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tight ropes, spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke, 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring, illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Richard Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs, every time they get down they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas, you're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Richard Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet, Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat, but I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you, but what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Tires, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild podcast. I'm your host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host Runs.
Yes, sir.
Before we get started, I just want to remind you guys that we're brought to you in partnership with PWPondings.com, ROHWorld.com, and lastwear on ProWrestling.com. We're also featured on Wrestling to the Max Network. All right. We got a big show to talk about. Surprising, I thought, really good week of WWE programming. I mean, Money in the Bank may not have been my favorite, but I thought Raw and SmackDown were a lot better than they have been. We got some ROH news about a possible venue that we had spoken about earlier. We have news about guys moving and leaving WWE and big changes. So let's just start off with Money in the Bank. We won't really go crazy into the 11 matches. I will say, I didn't know last week before we made our predictions that people had been saying that Ellsworth was re-signed with WWE or something. Apparently reports had been out. I really just wanted to pick the dumbest possible conclusion to that match and just said James Ellsworth just to be a jerk. And the fact that it came true was just amazing. I know some people probably be like, oh, this guy listened to, he saw someone say it. And I'm like, no, I'm just really that much of an idiot that I was like, I want James Ellsworth back. And thank you, WWE. I really appreciate that. All right, so let's go through.
I mean, there was a surprise, I guess, you know, if you didn't know. But I started seeing something earlier that day that I was like, oh, he's backstage, and they're, like, hiding him and all this stuff. So it took a little long for it to be revealed. But, you know, it was what it was. It was fine.
Like, I wonder what hiding entails back there. Like, is he under a box just moving back and forth?
They said he was in a bus or something.
I just like this idea. Like,
really, James Ellsworth? Like, who cares?
He's got to leave the bus, and they got, like, an umbrella and, like, a blanket try to cover him while he's moving around. Like, yeah, some, like, crazy stuff. All right, the kickoff match. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I even saw this match. The Bludgeon Brothers versus Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson.
I mean, I had the kickoff on. I can't really say that I paid attention to this.
I thought the kickoff started. So wait, the show started at 7?
Pay-per-view start at 7 now, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I totally forgot about that and put the pay-per-view on like at 7:30 or something and had to rewind stuff. Yeah, I was very irritated. I forgot about the fact that everything has to be 9 hours. So yeah, I missed that one. The first match I saw though was Rollins. So, pardon, the Bludgeon Brothers won. Not really a surprise. Then the first match proper on the show, well, that I saw was Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. I thought this was a pretty good match. Nothing crazy right home about, and they didn't. I don't think. I mean, Cass looked good, but I thought that at some point they were going to do something with him and kind of make him a star, maybe a win here over Bryan in some kind of cheating way would have done well. You know, we would find out later, perhaps, why maybe he wasn't given more during that match. So, I don't know. The report seems to say that, you know, after SmackDown, or maybe after the pay-per-view even, there was basically a small meeting. I believe Vince McMahon was involved. And either way, it seems that his... First, the way he attacked the little person who played Daniel Bryan was off script. And the other fantastic story is that during the European tour, well, he was publicly intoxicated, and at one point went to go to the bathroom on the bus, thought he was being ribbed because he couldn't open the door, and got claustrophobic and angry and busted the door down to the bathroom so that for the rest of the tour or that trip, people had to use the bathroom with the door open. And, I mean, if that's
yeah,
not...
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just... I mean, it's kind of ironic, but similar to Enzo, it's just a case of, like, things are just adding up, and they were just done with it. I don't know if something happened, you know, this week that caused them to release him, but, you know, they released him and didn't wish him well in his future endeavors.
I know,
so
they didn't
usually
wish him well.
That's like, you know, that's not a good sign.
WWE wishes everyone well in their future endeavors.
Pretty much, right. Like, unless you commit a crime, you know. I don't know. Like, it seems like they really were just not happy with him. And it's kind of crazy because, you know, he had talent. He was starting to get a singles push. You know, he got hurt and all of that. So, I don't know. Maybe, you know, there's, I don't know, everything just came to a point and they were just done with it. But it's interesting timing, seeing as, you know, he's been in this feud with Bryan and all this stuff, and then he loses and he's fired.
I can't stop laughing because I just picture Vince in a meeting with him and going, "God damn it, Cass! People have to take a dump with the door open. Do you know what that feels like?" Like if that was a sticking point to this conversation, that's just unbelievable. And what you did to that little person. We told you not to go too far. Like, I just... All of this stuff... just absolutely amazing. And, you know, who knows? I mean, it could be an issue where they, you know, they reach out to him when he matures more down the road. I mean, Randy Orton was known for leaving gifts, or at least one time, leaving a gift in a diva's bag in the locker room. And he hasn't been fired. I mean, I guess... But I guess Cass just ruffled too many feathers. I mean, I don't know how you ruffle more feathers than taking a dump in someone's gym bag, but,
well,
you know...
I mean, Orton also had legacy and talent on his side there where, you know, Cass...
So, like, if Cass's pops is Don Morocco, like, they're like, all right,
he's
listen.
He's still around. What?
Little Rock.
But, yeah, I don't know. It is what it is, and I'm sure... we'll see him on the Indies or you know, Japan, ROH, wherever.
I clearly made a mistake there, and Cass's father would obviously be Big John Studd, because Big is in his name. I don't know why I didn't think of that earlier. My apologies to everybody listening.
Or the Big Show, or Big whoever.
Big Show.
People. But anyway.
Well, John Studd would be better because he has the blonde hair, you know, kind of looks like. All right. Moving on. Yeah. No one cares what I'm talking about now. All right, so Bryan wins. Then you have Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. Now, the reports are that Sami Zayn is injured.
One ounce of attention to this.
Yeah, but so, you know, they're saying that Sami Zayn is injured. He had to go see the dreaded James Andrews, as I know from Chad Pennington stories. It's usually not good when you have to go see Dr. James Andrews. So he's going to be injured. Perhaps that's why this match was so quick and so terrible. I have a feeling that it's just because it's Bobby Lashley, but, you know, that's just my opinion.
A little bit of both, but the angle, the injury doesn't excuse the rest of the angle. That was just god awful.
So. I want them to do an angle where somebody's angry that he wears a headband and just, like, beats him down and, like, makes sure he doesn't wear it. Like, that's what I want. Or, like, there to be, like, a, you know, like a hair versus headband match, and if he loses, he can never wear a headband again. Like, that would make me happy, because I dislike the headband. I dislike him. It's like everything about him. I want him gone. I want him gone. I just can't stand it. All right. That's how I feel about Bob Lashley. So the Intercontinental Championship match, Rollins versus Elias. Basically, Elias at the end was going for a roll, a schoolboy. He had Rollins' tights hooked. Rollins rolls through, and he then basically hooks the tights, and now he retains. I thought it was a pretty good match. They gave him a good amount of time. I thought Rollins made Elias look good out there. I mean, not that Elias particularly looks bad, but I thought it was a little...
Well, this is probably the best he's ever looked, right? So
yeah.
I get what you're saying. This match was awesome. It was a lot of fun, and it played into Raw, where Rollins came out, made an open challenge, and then lost to Dolph. They played up that he was tired, and he's pushing himself too much, and I liked that story. I liked how that played out. I liked that Dolph got a nice surprising win. It makes sense because those guys have been getting pushed pretty well lately. Mm-hmm. So, that's great. And then it was a nice surprise. I really liked what they did there. And I'm interested to see where they go with these guys going forward, because the promo that Dolph and Drew cut was pretty good. And, in terms of, like, building up the hype to see them do more. So I'm interested in that. And, Rollins... he's not, and it was cool to see him with the IC title, but he's not an IC guy. He's a main eventer, so hopefully he gets back up there pretty soon.
Yeah, listen, victories can do wonders for a promo, right? I mean, when you're not winning and you're just, like, we've seen it with Wyatt, we've seen it with Ziggler. When you're not winning and you're doing these promos that are basically saying the same thing, but there are no results. It loses its edge. It loses its effectiveness. Picking up the win here, I think, gives both McIntyre and Ziggler something to back up what they've been saying. Even if Ziggler's the one to hold the title, and I think McIntyre, they're keeping him on the burner, right? I mean, one injury, and he can be. I mean, right now with their look. It's they're on Raw, so that's obviously going to be different. And I don't think that McIntyre in any way is going to be filling the role that Sami Zayn's leaving behind, because I don't think they know what they were doing with Sami Zayn. They were just ruining his career by putting him with Bobby Lashley, because Bobby Lashley's terrible. So I still think that McIntyre's he's not their guy yet, but I think we're a couple months away, an injury away from him really being elevated more.
I kind of disagree with you. When he was there the first time, he was the chosen one. He got released from what everyone has said. It was like, hey, right now is not your time. Go get better, and we'll happily bring you back. So he's always kind of been on their radar. And he comes back, he wins the NXT title, an injury happens, and then the next thing we see is him on Raw. So... I don't know. He's pretty awesome. I can't wait to see where they go with him. And I think the sky's the limit. He can get in the ring with anyone. He can match up size-wise with anyone. They can really go any number of ways for him. So I like that pairing. It helps Dolph. And, it's freshened up a Raw roster that's kind of, lackluster with fresh stuff going on, so that's always good.
Yeah, it definitely added to how good Raw was on Monday night. And then we had the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Alexa Bliss actually ends up coming out on top. Who did you pick? I know
Ember Moon.
All right, I picked I had picked Becky, and there was a moment where I was like, oh, she's going to win it. And then she just slowly climbed because nobody was around. Like, she was actually, she had actually, like, unclipped the briefcase, basically. Yeah. And, like,
there was
to, like,
a couple times that they got close, and a couple times where it was like, oh, well, you could have won seven different times. But, you know, that happens in any match. And it's funny that we talked the whole time about, like, Ron winning and cashing in or something like that, and never.
No,
really, did I ever think about
in a million
you know,
years.
Somebody on the women winning and cashing in right away? But, you know, that was awesome. Well, so firstly, the Money in the Bank match was really good. It was fine. You know, we've seen a lot of Money in the Bank, but it still feels different with the women. So it's still like when they do smaller spots that maybe the guys have done plenty of times, it's still cool to see. So that was enjoyable. Alexa winning was great. And then her cashing in later on was even better. Rousey and Nia were having a great match. Rousey is
my
just
God,
awesome.
Rousey is
she's amazing. So good for them, good for her. But yeah, then Alexa coming out cashing in. I didn't, you know, they do this all the time with a fake tease or the person comes back. Nope, Alexa just straight won it, and you know it couldn't have been any better.
And then the next night, Ronda Rousey comes out and she's very angry. And essentially, I'll accept it. But even if you just think about other things that other people have done, like they don't get
as
much
Roman
trouble.
Roman and Ron literally like tried to kill each other.
I mean, Roman Reigns, and there were times just... where Roman Reigns, I thought he died. I mean, Braun Strowman took a... pardon. Braun Strowman took a grappling hook out and pulled like a giant scaffolding down on top of two men, and that's fine. Didn't Kane like almost paralyze Zack Ryder at some point? You know
all that fun stuff.
Ronda gets a little rowdy.
I guess she's
too rowdy.
Well, I mean, she did it to the GM. I get it, but I guess she's filming a movie. I don't know. Maybe they just don't have anything for her to do.
Keep her away. It's smart.
On
Keep
TV.
Her away.
Oh, right. Exactly. It's a great move for them. She doesn't need to be there every week walking out and doing nothing. It's perfectly fine. You know, so I enjoyed everything that they did with the women this weekend and going forward. So it continues to, you know, like it's funny how we watch it now with ROH, but we weren't there that long ago with WWE. And to see how far they've come, you know, so quickly. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, to cap that off, we had, as we mentioned earlier, James Ellsworth comes out to distract Asuka, and Carmella retains, and the hog is back, the big hog. Really, I don't know. I'm just, it makes me laugh. It really does. I think at the end of it, I was probably annoyed. And I bet you if you go back like to when he was there, I was probably like, I'm so sick of Ellsworth, done with this, blah, blah. Oh.
Well, this is why everyone should have like a 3-month break.
Yeah, just go away, come back. Everyone loves you.
Right. Yeah.
Except Bobby Lashley.
Makes sense. And right. Well, he's just
he could leave for 15 years, come back. I don't care.
Yeah, like I it's funny because I saw something that said like you know there was talks that they wanted to bring him back for the Greatest Royal Rumble and have him in the Rumble, and it's so funny to me like a year, 2 years ago, James Ellsworth was nothing and probably had no hope. Of like going to the WWE, right? And now he's a guy that they're going to have around literally forever. Anytime they need some old comedy spot, something to dig up, it could be James Ellsworth. And that, like, kudos to you, my man. What?
Oh,
that's a perfect little niche, you know, like, great little spot for that guy. What? Amazing stuff.
I mean, he's living the dream. This dude's just
like Hornswoggle was there for like 15 years. Anytime they need a little person, they're calling Hornswoggle. It's just like, man, that's so awesome that, you know, those guys found that spot, found the role, living the dream. Good stuff.
It's being a bullpen catcher. Like, I want to, please, that's best thing ever. No pressure. All you got to do is just catch the ball. Oh. All right, so then we got the WWE Championship Last Man Standing match between AJ Styles and Shinsuke. I said before the last show during this brief preview that if Shinsuke lost here, it was over. Like that's it. And I didn't think they were going to do it. And he lost.
Yeah, I mean, this was a good match. In some way, I think it still helped elevate AJ a little bit, just with the match and the physicality that he took and that he kept getting up. It definitely did not help Shinsuke, and I think he started feuding with Hardy, right, on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess Hardy, listen, at this point, for me, I will wait for them to do something with Nakamura that I'm excited about. But if I have to be honest, I didn't know his body of work when he first came in. I thought he was pretty good in NXT. I haven't really liked him since the call-up to the main roster. I liked him far better as a heel. I mean, he's so much better as a heel. But, you know, this feud is tired. They got to move him on to something else. I hope they can do something with Hardy that makes it interesting. But
yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully they get him back on track to something viable. But, you know, it's definitely going to take some time now.
I mean, I know that you know how I feel about Jeff Hardy. I've never really been a fan. So this is going to be a feud that I really don't care about. Speaking of which, what did you think of Jinder Roman?
I didn't watch a second of it.
I mean, beach balls, waves.
I went to the store after the Money in the Bank, I think. And I went to the store and I was like, all right, cool, Jinder Roman, I'll miss that. And I get back and the match didn't even start yet. I was like, come on, man. Really? It took this long to introductions and all that?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Watch a second, that was terrible.
Yeah, no, just done. Forget it. Don't give me Jinder Roman. I don't care. Sorry. And then we had the main event, which was the Money in the Bank ladder match. Man, you were right. Braun Strowman doesn't seem like a dude to me who carries a briefcase. But apparently WWE disagrees with me and believe that he does look like a man who carries a briefcase.
He doesn't look like a man who carries a briefcase. He looks like a monster who carries a briefcase.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why, I mean, seriously, you're like the best color commentary guy on a podcast in the business right now. That was a great, great follow-up. Yes, he is a monster among men. He is a monster with a briefcase. Do you think he presents so much as a face that does he just outright say this day I want my title shot, like Rob Van Dam style?
I don't think so, because even as a face you don't need to, and Brock is a heel, so it's not like he's cashing in on another face unless, you know, something happens along the way. But I think he's cashing that thing in sooner rather than later, and maybe after we find out who Brock is facing at SummerSlam, maybe that'll just be it, you know?
Yeah, there's going to be a multi-man match at Extreme Rules, I believe. That's going to determine who indeed ends up getting that title shot, which is weird because...
If it's Roman, oh boy.
It can't be Roman. It can't be Roman Reigns. There's no way they would do that at this point. Oh, they would. I don't...
I was just going to say, okay, if you say so. Maybe they won't, but they very easily could.
I think we covered everything from Raw along the way. Oh, wait, the B team is on SmackDown? Or no, they're on Raw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to see... Now I can only think of Bray. The Bray Wyatt impersonation?
Yeah, it was, I mean, obviously outrageous because, like, they sound alike and they're brothers. So that, you know, that was a nice touch, and I'm sure this has to be fun for Bo and Bray to finally kind of be working together in a little program. And I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from the B team. You know, they've been funny. They've been doing well with the skits they've been given, and there's always a need for those guys. You know, we had Slater and Rhino, and so there's a need for that undercard tag team, Breezango, et cetera. But yeah, I'm happy to see these guys getting the shot. I've always liked Axel, and I own a Bo Leave shirt, so yeah.
That's right. You do have a Believe shirt.
Yep, I do.
All right. Jump into SmackDown, unless I'm missing anything from Raw. I don't think I am.
No,
SmackDown.
We're on SmackDown, really, pretty much.
Sanity finally showed up.
Rusev.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm mixing up shows now. Rusev was on SmackDown. Sanity showed up finally, which I'm, you know, at least happy that they're there finally, because they haven't heard much from them since the draft. For some reason, we had to see the Bludgeon Brothers win for the second time. I mean, sometimes when they do this often, they have a match on the pre-show, or on the kickoff, I'm sorry, and then they put it on again like 2 nights later or the next night. Like, oh, nobody saw this because it's the kickoff. Because, hey, even we know you guys don't watch this all the time. Peter Rosenberg sucks. And then you have to go and you have to watch it again. So, I mean, I guess it was only the first time I saw it, but I'd rather see the good... I don't know. The Bludgeon Brothers are good, but I'd rather see the Good Brothers a bit. The Bludgeon Brothers did, however, come out later and cause some trouble during the Gauntlet match. And they essentially attacked Daniel Bryan and allowed The Miz to hit the Skull Crusher finale. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to wait to find out why they did that. I mean, they could just be bullies. Mean guys who want to beat up a little
dude. They can play it off as they have a history with Bryan, especially Harper. They can play it off as Miz pay them, you know, anything like that. So, I'm excited to see Miz and Bryan if that's where we're going at the moment. So,
if Miz paid them and they end up turning into like some sort of APA, that'll make them infinitely more interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we didn't talk about this, but did you see the Luke Harper video they put up? Like the backstory of Brody Lee?
No.
Right. So basically they did a... One of those, I don't know if you, did you see the Ricochet profile they did?
No.
All right, so they've been doing these profiles, kind of like what they did with Roddy Strong. You know, humanizing them, like talking about their background, right, their journey to get there. So they did that with Luke Harper, which is amazing because the man tweets, every day, his only, like, if you go to his Twitter account now, basically it's the same thing, which is, as always, so today is Thursday, he would say, it's Thursday. Yeah. You know what time it is.
If anyone listens to this podcast, you've heard this story 14 times.
Yes, I love, because it's my favorite Twitter account on in professional wrestling. So then I like to go to his Twitter almost on a daily basis and see if there's ever... I always think maybe there's something different. And this time there's a biography that really humanized him, and they spoke about his journey, and I thought it was really interesting. And I think that they're opening the door a little bit to make these guys a little less cartoonish. And I would like an APA type thing where they get paid off and they just walk around with their freaking gigantic sledgehammers and mess people up for money. I like that.
Yeah, that is a perfect comparison. If they're kind of a new age APA ish, where they do their own thing, but they can be had. So that would be fun. But they had their chance with Harper, and maybe it's a different time with all the technology and people knowing about these guys more. But when he was a singles guy and he had the IC title, I've always been a fan of Harper, and he's a beloved guy backstage. He's awesome if you ever watch him on Up Up Down Down. So he's a guy that I've seen that other side of, and it's great. So hopefully at some point you get to see an actual humanized version of him as a character on the show.
I totally agree with that. And I think, I was really surprised they pulled the trigger on Rusev here. Not that I haven't wanted it, but I mean, Rusev actually wins the Gauntlet, and now he's set up to end up having a title shot against AJ Styles. I think I don't see him winning this, but I think it'll be a fun program. I really like seeing someone different, and I like these Gauntlet matches. I've been this idea, I think, makes the time pass a little quicker on the show. It's really a good use of it. It feels important. A gauntlet match that goes, this one went like about 45 minutes. For it to go, you know, it's for the world title, whatever, the SmackDown title. It's important for the viewer. You can almost feel like the guys in the match, it means more. I don't know. It heightens everything, I think.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I like that concept. And it was something where I assumed Brian would win, then maybe I thought Miz would win. AJ's hand after the match. So I don't know if they'll go a little somewhat face-to-face here or if Rusev will show his true colors, but either way, like you said, I'm looking forward to this, and whether he wins or not, it doesn't matter. This is a nice spotlight for Rusev to have.
Yeah, Rusev and Machka. All right, I think we said we would be discussing, so most likely, because Best in the World is next Friday night, we are going to actually do our preview for Best in the World this week. So you guys have plenty of time to listen to it. Well, you're already listening, so I suppose I don't have to tell you that. But we're putting it out there so that there's plenty of time for it to get some air. And then we will tape later, so we'll be releasing later that weekend. June, I'm so embarrassed, has 30 days. So I believe we would be releasing about July 1st with our recap of our review of the show. All right, so according to Wikipedia, I believe these are the most updated matches. So we have Austin Aries versus Kenny King. If you remember, while Austin Aries was wrestling Silas Young, King essentially came down to try to help out his former friend, but ended up costing him disqualification. Aries was very upset afterwards and kicked King and hit him. I think he put him in the Last Chancery. So there have been back issues between those guys. You know, Aries is the belt collector. He's been trying to collect the belt. He failed in his attempt, so now he's going to square off against his former friend. I'm just excited to see Aries there.
Yeah, I mean, I like Aries and King. That'll be a fun match. And like you said, yeah, it'll be cool to see Aries back again. But, you know, hopefully this leads to something else. Maybe he goes after Punishment later on or something like that. To set something up for the future for them.
You know, and the thing is, with the event 2 weeks away on TV this week, you have a Kenny King versus Chucky T match, which is good. But this is where it hurts that Aries, if he's going to be at the pay-per-view, you know, wasn't at the tapings, so you couldn't even have him come out or say anything. Right. I mean, they could have done something as easy as Aries, just having, like, coming up on the video screen and distracting King, and King loses.
Right. Could have just filmed something on his phone, like, walking down the street.
I don't really understand why that couldn't have happened.
Hey, Kenny King, I didn't feel like being in whatever crap town this is. I'll see you at Best in the World, where I belong. I'm done. That's it. Game over.
Boom. So easy. But they did build on this week's television. There was Bullet Club versus L.I.J. But during the match, Punishment Martinez came out, and him and Paige brawled to the back. They will be fighting. It is now for the ROH World Television Championship, as Punishment Martinez will be defending against Paige. I think we spoke about this last week, about Paige's involvement in the G1. I don't really see how he would win here.
Well, we also, don't forget, talked about last week how, with the TV taping being the night after,
oh, true, true,
he could still be on all the shows, and maybe the exposure that the TV title gets from being in the G1 could also help. But you never know which way they go. Like you said, Punishment is a strange TV champion, but, you know, I kind of disagree there. However, you know, Paige kind of is a prototypical TV champion, and it would make some sense if they made the switch to make another one, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of want the belt to settle for a little bit. I don't love how much it's been flopped around. So either way, I expect a good match from these two. They've been working together for quite a while, and, you know, this seems like the logical endpoint. We didn't pick, by the way, we didn't make a pick for Aries King. I'm going to go with Aries.
Yeah, sure.
All right, how about, so here, do you think Punishment or Paige?
Hmm. I guess I'll say Page.
All right, I'll go Martinez just to be contrarian. Then we have Jay Lethal versus Kushida. Lethal's been on a tour of basically defeating guys who have defeated him in the last year as he tries to make his way back into contention. I firmly believe this will be a great match, and that Lethal comes away the winner here and continues his push. I think at the end of the night we're going to have a different world champion, and I think that Jay Lethal being a challenger is always believable and a guaranteed good match.
Yes, and depending on, you know, we'll get to later who wins that championship, Lethal could already have somewhat of a built-in feud going. So that's great, and I fully expect Lethal to come away here, and like you said, this should be a great match.
All right, then there is going to be an 8-woman tag match. It's Team Stardom, which will be... Well, wait, no, it's mixed. I think that maybe we're going to get that another night. So here we have Sumi Sakai, Jenny Rose, Mayu Iwatani, and Tennille Dashwood versus Kelly Klein, Oedo Tai, and then which is the group of Hazuki, Kagetsu, and Hana Kimura. I remember from the Women of Honor tournament that Kimura, I thought, was pretty advanced. Kagetsu is pretty tough in the ring. I don't remember Hazuki as much. So it'll be interesting. Mayu Iwatani made it to the final, or almost made it to the finals. She made it to the semifinals. So, you know, you have some good talent in there. The fact that it's just basically the faces versus the heels makes it a little less interesting for me. I would have actually liked to see, like, Team Women of Honor versus Team Stardom. And, you know, like, Kelly Klein getting into an argument with Dashwood or something like that on the apron, I think would have been pretty good. I don't see the benefit in keeping it just your face heel dynamic there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we've spoken about our disdain for multi-man matches in the past. Huh. And also the, you know, kind of just hear all these random women that has been going on here. So not the greatest combination for this match, for me at least.
Fair. I will go with, because it's random. This is weird. Okay, I'm actually going to go with the heels here. All right. Then we have the Kingdom, Matt Taven, T.K. O'Brien, and Vinny Marsaglia, the champions, six-man tag team champions, defending against Los Ingobernables de Japón, Bushi, Evil, and Sonata. I don't love that on TV this week, basically the Bullet Club wins over LIJ. I mean, it would have just been nice to see LIJ maybe beat another team, just so they look strong going into the title shot. The truth is, I don't see them taking the titles off the Kingdom. The Kingdom deserve to have the titles, in my opinion, and, you know, in so much as any team in a sport that's predetermined, right, deserves to have something. But they've stepped up for Ring of Honor. I don't think the title should be taken off them right now.
I agree, but it could always go the other way, and you have a team in LIJ that is kind of built for these things and could definitely help, I wouldn't say bring some attention, but it would be a cool thing to see them with the six-man titles here, since we haven't really seen, you know, an outside team hold them. So, I don't know, I wouldn't be super opposed, but, you know, it would depend on what the Kingdom did next.
Fair. Then we have the Briscoes defending against the Young Bucks. Are you know, the Briscoes are basically just saying that they're going to kill the Young Bucks. They're just, this is essentially what they've been saying the entire time going up to this, that they're just planning on destroying them. I think the Briscoes have had a good run here. I don't know what happens here. I mean, these teams have faced off quite a number of times. The last time that I remember them facing off on a pay-per-view, the Young Bucks won after hitting the Briscoes with, like, 75 super kicks while the Briscoes were on their knees, almost dead. The last time they squared off on television, I believe it was a DQ ending. So, it almost seems like it's painted for the Young Bucks to win, but do the Bucks do the gimmick of carrying around the heavyweight titles and and the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Titles and the ROH titles, or do the Briscoes manage to somehow keep the Bucks away?
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time the Bucks had multiple championships to carry around, so it wouldn't really change much for them. But I think that would have a cool look for them to be the heavyweight tag champs in both companies instead of, you know, one time when they were the junior. So that would be cool. And, you know, I think the Jericho cruise, I think the title match is probably going to happen on the boat, but Jay and Mark are in singles matches in that tournament. And I don't know, looking at the bracket, it's possible that we get Jay against Mark and maybe Jay in the finals. So, you know, you never know. Maybe that could be a little, you know, launching point or just sign of things to come. Not necessarily, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe they can have more of a singles run here.
All right. And, you know, at this point, you know, if the Bucks win here, or, you know, the Page match we're not sure about, there's a possibility that you could have, the four titles held by the Bullet Club, which I don't know if that's a good thing.
I think like it's kind of like one of those things that like an independent company would do.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, here are the four most popular guys we have, give them all the belts. Mm-hmm. But they haven't done that yet, and I think, you know, even in Japan, usually it's like one guy wins a title and someone else loses it the same night, or something like that. So I wouldn't mind seeing the Bullet Club kind of dominate and have all the titles. And maybe that leads to the guy who doesn't have all the titles, Cody. Maybe that leads to something a little more dissension or a little more reason for him to gun after Kenny and go after Marty. Or, you know, I don't know. So we'll see.
Agreed. And now we have the last match. Dalton Castle, the champion, defending against Cody and Marty Scurll. I keep going back and forth on this one. I mean, when you earlier said the person who wins would have a built-in rivalry with Lethal, it's funny because it made me actually sway more towards Cole. I mean, Cody and Lethal have had issues, but Lethal...
You said?
Oh, no, Cole. Cody. I'm sorry. I'm sitting away from the computer and I read it wrong because my glasses are not on. So, Cody and Lethal have had issues.
Right.
So, you have that built in right away. But at the same time, if you're following the idea that Jay Lethal is trying to defeat everyone, you know, after defeating Kushida, he can turn and say to Skrull, I beat you at Final Battle.
Correct. And they just had that three-way where Marty got the win.
Yep.
So, you know, Marty is the guy that I was referring to because they've been having a little, you know, off and on story building for a little bit. So, yeah, I think, you know, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, you mentioned it before, but who is a better, like, first challenger for the title than Jay Lethal? You know, that guy has been ROH for the last number of years. So for Marty, or, you know, I'm just going to say Marty because I'm going to pick him to win, for Marty to get some wins over Lethal, or, you know, a big win at a pay-per-view, that's a great start. And that's something that Castle didn't necessarily have.
Well, now to be my own devil's advocate, Cody is going to face Omega at the Cow Palace show. Do you put the title on as well?
We had the same conversation last year.
and what happened?
Cody. I believe, he was the ROH champ. I don't know. I don't remember if he was the champ when he fought Okada. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me, because then you're going to have the same Nick Aldis discussion. And you could, you know what I mean? You could have any number of discussions that you want to have about, oh, Cody and this champion, and Cody and this champion, and could he hold all three belts? And, you know, I don't think any of those things need to come true. He doesn't need to hold the ROH title right now. He's not big enough, and Omega is not losing the New Japan title anytime soon. And, you know, he very well could win the NWA title, and I think that would be pretty cool for him. But, you know, so one out of three ain't bad. That's Hall of Fame in baseball.
I'm actually really excited for Best in the World. Not only does it signal the end of the school year for both of us, it'll be the first Friday that we're officially off for the summer. But you know, it's like Ring of Honor has had the VODs or the on tour shows, but you know, these always feel more important. So I hope to see some things shaken up, hopefully, at the end of the show.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, did we leave anything out?
I just wanted to run through the G1 Climax blocks.
Okay.
They got released this week, and there are some interesting matchups. In Block A is Tanahashi and Okada. So,
whoa.
I mean, like, yeah, they're going to fight at some point, you know? So that's pretty awesome. Hangman, Suzuki, Elgin, Jay White are also in that mix. So, you know, definitely going to have some fun matches there. Suzuki, Tanahashi, and Okada is kind of crazy that they're all in one block. And then Block B, you have Omega, Naito, Sabre, and Ibushi. So we're going to get Omega versus Ibushi at some point.
My God.
You know, so I like the way that they set up these blocks and to have some matches that, you know, we haven't ever seen before. And I don't know if they would give it to us so soon, but it very well could end up Omega versus Okada, like, in the final, if they wanted to.
How long does the G1 last? You said 39 days or something like that?
Yeah, it goes till August. I believe it starts maybe early July and goes till August.
Man.
It's pretty much the whole summer. You know?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, all these guys have singles matches with each other, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And they tell great stories. They set things up for the future and title shots and all that sort of thing. So, you know, it's always something to watch.
Might even be able to watch some of these live.
I believe they're all going to have the English commentary.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, Kevin Kelly, I saw that on his Twitter.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, like, that's been a little bit of a problem for me with these tournaments in the past, is that the main shows have English commentary, but, you know, getting to hear the stories of all these guys in the tournament, and that just makes it that much better.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've said it 1,000 times, but commentary can make or break an event for me, so I'm pretty excited. And I think the last thing we should probably mention is you know, RIP to Vader. Big Van Vader passed away this week, 63 years old. Not very old. I mean, you know, considering a lot of the guys that we grew up watching ended up not making that far, I guess it's older than some of those guys, but still a shame. One of the best big men ever, and probably in my life forever will be remembered just because he was on Boy Meets World.
Right. That was, you know, an awesome addition, and I always, as a huge Boy Meets World fan, to see Vader was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, that was a nice little crossover so many years later. But yeah, he was before my time, you know, as a wrestling fan, and I didn't really watch WCW, so it's only, you know, the last whatever, however many years with the network and all that, you know, I've really been able to go back and watch those matches with Sting and Flair and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, Vader was awesome. It was a lot of fun to watch them, and because I never had seen them before and see the build-up and all that sort of stuff that they had, and, you know, it watching those sort of things, it makes you appreciate, because we don't really have that anymore where it's like, oh, here's this big monster that nobody knows anything about. Like, you know, Braun Strowman's on Twitter or whatever with his normal name and doing normal stuff. We don't have that mystique with you know, the monsters anymore, like Andre the Giant, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it was a different time, and to see the babyface Sting trying to overcome that, you know, a lot of fun stories that came out of that, and great matches. So if you haven't ever checked out all that Vader stuff, you know, do yourself a favor and go watch it on the network or YouTube or wherever.
Yeah, totally agree. All right. Well, if that's everything, I just want to remind you guys that you can find us on Facebook at Running Wild LWO. I mean, sorry, Running Wild on Wrestling. You can find us on Twitter, Running Wild LWOS. You can follow me on Twitter at Rich_Laconi. And you can follow my Ring of Honor coverage at pwponderings.com and rhworld.com. And with all that out of the way, I just want to remind you guys that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.
For Rich N Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.